Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I am continuing my Get to Know You episodes, and I'm joined by North Melbourne supporter Mark Hello. Now, it was good to have Mark on because generally when I've done these Get to Know You episodes, I've had guests on like Siobhan Rowe, who else are Josh Neal, Marnie Cohen. They're people in their boys and girls that are in their 20s. So, yeah, it was good to get someone on that grew up in my era in the 90s. And it was good to chat to Mark about players that, we love watching in the 90s. He obviously goes way back to the 70s and talks a little bit about that. So, yeah, no, it was a really good fun chat to get to know you, Mark. It's been good to do these episodes with the other guests as well and get to know their story. So I'm really enjoying it. I hope you lovely listeners are as well. I know it's been a while since I did a podcast. I'm feeling a bit rusty. My interview was probably a bit rusty, but let's not waste any more valuable time and bring on Mark right now. So tonight, I welcome to the show Mark Hello, who is someone that grew up in an era around my time of the 90s and even earlier. This is a Get to Know You episode, Mark, and previous guests I've had on have grown up in the 2000s. So this will be good to chat about the 90s and the success we had during that time. But we might as well go all the way back to the start. And how'd you become a North supporter?
Well, I became a supporter. I didn't really have a choice because Dad played for North in the sort of around 63, 64, he was actually at Melbourne, and he'd done the full preseason with Melbourne. So this is when Ron Barassi was captain.
Oh, nice.
Yep, during that era, and but North off were after him, and they offered him. I don't know, so there was some sort of inducement to leave Melbourne and come across. So he played a year at North, and then he decided he wanted to go back and captain coach in the amateurs, which was a strange decision for me as a kid trying to understand why your dad wouldn't want to play AFL footy. But there was no real money in it in those days, and he preferred to play with his mates. But so I obviously, when I grew up, once I learnt that he played for North, I was sort of, there's no way I was going to be barracking for anyone else. And so that was my for me going back. So my first game of VFL footy was the 1976 grand final. I think I was seven years old. And I can't remember any of it, but Mum said apparently I cried all the way home after we lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hard, and then obviously I can remember most things about the 1977 premiership year, and I was certainly at the drawn grand final and the grand final the week after that. So my memories are really strong through that 70s period, and that's when I learned to hate Hawthorn, obviously, through that period as well.
Well, nothing's changed. We still hate Hawthorn.
Yeah, correct. And but that was, I mean, that, like, to me, that's probably even more than the 90s. That's my favourite era because I loved all the players then. That was it just seemed so exciting as a kid. You know, Malcolm Blight, Wayne Schimmelbusch, Keith Greig, David Dench, Arnold Brightus, Brent Croswell, you know, Snake Baker at full forward. There was just so much, it was just so much fun watching in those days. And both the brand of footy and the sort of the type of stars that were around, it's different. And then there was, you know, because after that, there was obviously a big gap through that 80s period before, you know, as you said, when we had came through the 90s. But I was very lucky that when, you know, at the time I became really super into footy and both playing and watching was when North just had that amazing era. But Dad was able to get me into the rooms. He still need to go on the door, you know, on the door of the room, so get in before the games and see the players close up, and that's why I was just mesmerised.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, no, there's certainly some intrigue with that, especially going to first game to go into a grand final. But back then it was a bit different as opposed to getting tickets these days. How long have you been a member for, Mark?
I don't know when Dad did the family, because my brother, as well, who's a fanatical, I've got a brother who's a fanatical North supporter. So I'm guessing it was around that period, maybe early 80s. I can't be sure exactly when that started, but it was around then.
Yeah, a bit different back then too. You buy memberships and there was no scanning or anything like that. Going through the gates, that's for sure. Yeah. It was just clipping it off each game. Who have been, Lee, you've mentioned some names from the 70s, but who have been some of your favourite players?
Definitely, there's a few that really stand out for me. I love Wayne Schimmelbusch. As a supporter, it's hard to love a player more than him, just because of the effort he put in. You know, every time he played, he was just and such a good big game performer as well. But so from that era, it was Malcolm Blight, Shimmer. I have to say it's a bit sad now, but the first number I had in my back was actually Barry Cable, number 9. I used to love Barry Cable. So it's been a bit sad to watch what's happened over recent times. But I loved all those guys, like I said, Brightus and David Dench, Keith Gregg was an amazing player. And then I can't remember as much about the guys through the 80s. You always remember players like Matty Larkin and Peter German and stuff, but it was a pretty, you know, average period.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the players you had to love during the 90s. I mean, watching Carey, that was that 2 or 3 year period when he went berserk, was the most fun I've ever had at the footy. When he was just dominating games, it was just so exciting to go and watch. Have a player on your side who's taking contested marks like that and winning your games of footy off his own boot, it was a pretty amazing thing to watch. I think that night, I don't think it's ever been as exciting for me as an All supporter than that period in 93 when Pagan first took over and Carey started just going nuts, you know, through that 93-94 period. And I suppose you almost expected some flags to come out of that. Would have been very disappointing if we didn't. We had to win at least two. And I think 98 is probably the most disappointing I've ever been at a game of footy. That 98 grand final was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, the 98 one, I mean, it was the first half that really killed us. We should have been the game should have been gone by then. Just the inaccuracy in front of goal.
I just remember it being a horrible feeling at halftime. I think we've dominated by that much and we haven't put them away. I was just sort of, especially with Blight as coach, you knew something was going to happen. But anyway, at least they made up for it the next year. And the Essendon getting beaten by Carlton and that prelim sort of paved the way for us to get that second flag.
Yeah, definitely. It probably evened out because I don't know if we would have been beaten Essendon in a 9-9 grand final. I think we got the luck of the draw playing Carlton. But, we'll certainly take, like you said, two flags in that era. It's certainly, it's certainly better than nothing. And there's no doubt, we built our whole game plan around Carey for a number of years there. And, it was a lot different back then, Mark. There weren't no interchange. Unless you're playing bad, that was the only way you get interchanged. It was basically just one-on-one football, six, and, just get it long and quick, as quickly as possible to Carey because he was too strong for a lot of players. Besides, probably Glenn Jakovich and maybe still Stephen Silvani was quite good one on one as well. But everyone else sort of had their measure against and very intimidating presence.
It was interesting though. But he seems like so he was so dominant 93, 94, 95, 96, probably 97, and then 98 still strong. But his body was starting to give way around by 98 almost, 99, 98, 99. Even 99, I remember thinking he hasn't got that much left in the tank. He could hardly lift his arms above his head by then. So you think regardless of, the unfortunate stuff that happened with Anthony Stevens and all of that, I don't know how he had much good footy left in him anyway at that point. And the way they played and trained and partied in those days, they didn't really look after themselves in terms of recovery and everything else like they do now.
No, it was basically we played Friday night and then I spent the whole weekend up at Echuca, Craig Scholes' property, drinking beers, about 10, 15 of them. That was their recovery pretty much and then straight back to training Monday.
I saw them in a lot of nightclubs, that's for sure, during that era. They were out and about, those guys, all the time.
Yeah, they loved it. But yeah, no, it's a very different time these days. And speaking of these days, your current day favourite player or players?
Ooh, gee, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about who my favourite player is at the moment. So, if anyone happens to play well, they might be the favourite player on the day. But I'm trying to think last year who gave me the most. I mean, Luke Davies Uniacke would probably be close. But I'm just trying to think. I probably Sheasel at the moment, Larky. It's probably not going to really. I mean, in terms of your favourite players, it's probably going to be the players that end up playing well in the big games for us that you end up falling in love with. And Larky, to be fair, Larky's the one who seems to stand up in big moments for us more recently. Not that we've had that many big moments, but when he kicks a bag, we always feel like we're a chance to win. I thought
you might have said Charlie Condon.
Oh, I love Charlie Condon as a footballer. Absolutely, he's also seems like such a ripping bloke, young guy. But I don't want to jinx him. I just want him to get through a season uninjured and have a good year in the back line. I'm actually quite confident about what they've done. I know it's. You know, they haven't picked up any star players to fill the holes in the back line, but it feels like we've got a lot of backup options there now. And it only takes one or two of them to be playing pretty well and we'll be okay. So I think they've done well in the offseason in that regard to cover Mackay leaving, and obviously not ideal to have Logue out for most of the year. But and now Core, of course, has got some issues with his ankle. But I think they'll be okay. I think Charlie Compton will be a really good option down there, and I think they've picked up some good backup players through the off season. So I think it'll be exciting to watch them going. And look, and you have to love Wardlaw and Sheasel as a supporter, I guess, in terms of our current crop of guys. But just they're all these young kids that they've got. It's going to be just exciting to watch over the next 4 or 5 years. Probably for the first time since the rebuild started. Most of us probably feel like now there's a lot of talent now on that list. And if they just do the right things, then the improvement's definitely going to start coming. And we can avoid any other nightmare controversies like we had to suffer last year with, you know, the whole saga with Clarko and everything else. So hopefully they get a bit of, stability now through the next 2 years. But I've been loving what I'm reading in the preseason. Of course, every supporter says that, but at least when they're talking about they're making them train much harder than they have in the past in terms of the running. And I think we all complained through the year last year that we just didn't look fit enough against other sides, and that we hadn't done enough on that side of things. But they've definitely ramped that right up this year. So we should see a big improvement in our ability to get through games, I think.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. It was probably more under Noble. That we sort of that well, the year he was unfortunately go. I felt like that was the year we didn't really look fit from round one onwards, and it really showed in our play.
That Hawthorn game, that first game of the year against Hawthorn, we were absolutely knackered by the third quarter.
Yeah,
and knew that was going to be a problem for the rest of the year. So they probably that doesn't leave you with a great base position, and they probably improved it last summer to some extent, but I think the focus was more on game plan than fitness last summer, I remember them saying. So a lot of the training was involved the game plan, whereas this time they sort of feel like they're pretty solid on the game plan, and now it's they've got to get them. Well, resilience was the word they've been using. And they've been doing some hard running stuff, like, you know, 2 or 3 hour sessions, then make them run 6 minutes flat out at the end and all that sort of thing. That's pretty brutal. That sort of 2K. All out effort type things is nasty. So, yeah, so I think, you know, the signs are there. I mean, I just don't want to get overconfident, and everyone is confident this time of year, but I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a sizable improvement. And I don't mean 10, 12 wins type improvement, but being competitive in a lot more games and probably winning, you know, 5 or 6 plus games, you know, 7 or 8 even next year wouldn't be out of the question, I don't think.
No, definitely not. Yeah, you got to be bullish and optimistic, I think. And, yeah, apparently 90% of the players have already put in personal best as far as times and so forth. So,
good point. That's 100% right. Yeah, I saw that comment from Jaden Stevenson at 90%.
No, it was him, was it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, he sounds a lot more mature too, which I thought was a good thing. And on that, I've got a question for you. how do you see, and this is the one part I keep looking at and trying to work out in my head how it'll operate, how our forward line's going to go this year with you got Zerha, Ford, Dersma, Stevenson, Curtis, all there's a lot of that mid-size forwards around that, you know, in that team now, in and around Larky. So it's going to, they're all good marks too, those guys, for this size. So it's going to be interesting to see George, obviously. Who gets the nod in those positions this year? What's your thoughts on the forward line structure?
Yeah, there's a lot of depth there as far as half forwards go. I'm not too sure. I haven't really looked at the team yet, but someone like I could see someone like a Stevenson probably missing out, you know, like a round one, round two. But yeah, competition for spots there is going to be quite hot. But it's also like, I mean, I look, it's also the way we play. I think we're going to be trying to be a bit more attacking this year than probably previous years.
Yeah.
And just looking at the Gold Coast game, I know it's a small sample size, and I've mentioned this before, but I think we want to play a bit more of a run-and-gun approach. Yeah. We want to get the ball in a lot quicker than we have in previous years and give Larky the best chance. I mean, you've seen the result when you get the ball in quickly, what he can produce in that round 23 game. I think he kicked 9 goals, didn't he, or something like that. So. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I think everything you said then is 100% correct. And they will, and that Gold Coast game is a good example of us not just bombing it in there on top of Larky's head, but actually lowering their eyes and thinking, setting it up a lot better at those entries into the forward line. And if you're going to have all these guys 6'2" type mid-sized forwards that can all mark, you've just got to give them, put the ball into space in front of them, not just bomb it up high in the air. That won't help us. So hopefully they get that right. And the wraps on George are huge.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good apparently. So, yeah.
Off a couple of steps, he just bangs them through from 65 metres out.
The comparison is like a Jordan Goey, just off one step, he can kick a ball 50 plus metres.
Yeah.
And he's very good inside 50. So, yeah, something to get excited about. We'll get back on track a little bit here.
Sorry.
All good. No, enjoy the chat. Best play you've ever seen for North. Now, I know you've mentioned Carey, but any other names? And you mentioned a few others from the 70s as well.
I mean, in terms of just loving a footballer for what they do for the club and everything else, I was at that evening, the Shinboner of the Century evening. Dad took me along to that. And, that one was a great night, but also it was fantastic that he won that. I thought that was really well deserved. I think Schimmelbusch was probably would have been. I think he was second, and I think that's about right. Schimmelbusch and Archer are my two favourite players over the history of the club for sure. Since I've been watching anyway.
Yeah, certainly as far as getting the best out of themselves, they're two players that really do come to mind. I mean, Schimmel was one of the best. Wingman we've probably ever had. He probably is the best winger we've ever had. But unfortunately, did his ACL that finished his career. Back then, it was like that, wasn't it? So once he did an ACL, that was pretty much it.
He and Keith Gregg was a genius of a footballer. And I think in terms of just fun to watch someone play, Blight was just amazing. I mean, to win a Brownlow as a ruck rover and kick 100 goals as a full forward, you've got to be pretty special. He's a freak. He was an absolute freak, Blight. He could. I was there at Arden Street that day. He kicked that left foot banana and got dragged by Barassi, and then did it 10 times in a row at training the next Tuesday or something. I mean, he's just out of control. But yeah, you know, in terms of just, but just the way I've never seen anyone accelerate into trouble the way Archer used to do it. I mean, he just, the courage that guy had was just crazy. And he's, you know, his son's not much different, to be fair. Like, he's going to be a good player for us as well, albeit it's going to be competitive to get into the side. Who have been your favourites over that period?
I liked Brett Allison. I like the speedy players, like the half forwards. That he was quite good with Carey there for a couple of years under his feet.
Speed was amazing, actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed him. Like you said, Archer, Stevens. There wasn't many players that I didn't, you know, that were quite underrated. Like Craig Sharp was very good towards the end of his career as a third forward. You know, kicked
David King.
Yeah, David King was very good. Gave us a lot of run for the back line.
Winnie Aiden was classy. They had some good players.
Yeah, definitely did. But this leads me to the next question. Any players that you didn't like or rate?
I can remember having issues. I don't even know why, but Peter Jonas used to annoy me. I used to always be critical of him. But outside of that, I have to be honest, Dad made it sort of grew up with the thinking that if you're good enough to make that standard, you know, you can't really be bagging too many players that are good enough to play AFL footy, and particularly if you support the club. So I haven't really been one of those people that bags the crap, you know, out of our own players too much. When I was younger, I used to get very emotional at games and get angry with players when they made mistakes and stuff, but I grew out of that. But yeah, there haven't been too many actually that I've disliked. I would say, nah. I mean, I know there's some, we've had some players in the last 4 or 5 years that have definitely frustrated people, but no, not so much.
Yeah. Did you ever remember Dennis Pagan's son playing football?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. He was a high position getter.
Yeah, in the reserves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Did he actually even play a senior game?
He played like three, but he was nowhere near AFL level. He couldn't kick a football more than 30 metres. He was very slow.
I didn't think he'd played a game. There you go. He did actually
play. Yeah, I caused a bit of a rift between him and Mark Dawson, which eventually led to him leaving the club. I remember Barton Pike was on the bench one day talking to other players, basically saying, how the hell is this guy out on a football field while I'm sitting on the bench? He's probably one player that I thought, he shouldn't be. He was nowhere near level of AFL football. And like you said, he did get a lot of possessions in the reserves. He used to get 30 plus touches.
Yeah.
But very different game. From VFL to AFL. And it showed.
It was better off in the real estate game, obviously.
Yeah, well, his dad works for him now. So I think it's Mooney Ponds or something. So, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, very successful real estate business. Favorite game of all time?
Oh, gee, it's hard. Well, I reckon there's been a few, but maybe I'd say some of the ones that stand out though is that Essendon final when Petrie did the Frank the Tank thing. Yeah. That's one of my favorite games because we came from behind and it was just. You know, it was just amazing, amazing night when we won that game. That one stands out in my head, but it's a lot of the Essendon games. And when Carey went crazy against Essendon and won us the game in 93, I think, at the G.
Yeah, 93, I remember that, yeah.
I was at that game, and that was as much fun as I've had at the footy, watching a game when Carey was going, you know, going ballistic that day. That was awesome, but I'm trying to think, there's not many final. I mean, the 77 drawn and grand final the week after. That's probably been my favourite two games of footy actually. But yeah, that and those wins against Essendon are the ones that really stand out.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, I guess a lot of people have said the Essendon game that I've had on previously, but nothing beats when you win a premiership as well. You know that feeling for the next hour or so. It's a pretty joyous moment. So yeah, they're always favourite games. Like the one, the grand finals you win. But
I think the next one we win will be my favourite of all time. The next flag, as long as I get to see one, of course.
You're right, and we're certainly hoping, and especially with what we've been through probably last 3 or 4 years, if we can, I mean, it's certainly going through a bad time the last 3 or 4 years of, I think 12 wins in last, 80 games or something like that. So, yeah, no, we'll certainly appreciate, finals and victories a lot more after going through that. In saying all that, what are you hoping to see in 2024?
I was just going to say, I reckon, talking about players that will become people's favourites, I reckon a lot of people are going to have George Wardlaw as their favourite footballer as an all supporter in the next 3 or 4 years. Just the way he played in his first year and the way he goes at it, he's going to be pretty hard not to love him as a player. I'm hoping to see in 2024, I want to say eight wins and above. I'm very excited to see what McKercher can do straight up. As you said, it's always fun watching players that are super quick, and he's very quick, which is such an advantage at AFL level because it gives you a bit more time, and he's a beautiful kick. So it's going to be fun watching him with the ball in his hands going inside 50, I think, this year. But I think it's going to be exciting even watching the VFL games because we're going to have a lot of talent running around in the VFL. It's going to be far more competitive for spots. I mean, to get 5 picks in the top 23 in the draft, you know, after all the other young talent we've brought in over the last 3 or 4 years, we really should be set up now, you would hope. So I'm just looking for improvement. I think we're going to be a fitter side. I think we're going to be a lot more settled now with Clarkson back, you know, right through the full preseason and going into the season. I think the coaching group, the changes in the coaching group have been really important. I think that's going to make a big difference. I think in terms of tactics and everything else, I think we're going to be far more up to speed. And the other thing the club's done, which is really exciting, is they've put a huge amount into development area. There's a really good development coaching team in there. So we'll bring these kids on far quicker than we've done in the past and give them a much better chance and fulfilling their talent. So I just think the pain we've been through over the last 3 or 4 years, I think this will be as close. It won't be as good as 1993, but it's going to bring back memories of 93 this year. I think it's going to have that feeling about it that we're going to see what's coming this year and know that we're going to be in for some good, you know, good times for the next 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is effectively Clarkson's first year. Obviously, there was this time last year where he was going through all the racism scandal and so forth, which really affected him by the looks of it. And it showed in the games, you know, probably the first 10 rounds or so that he wasn't coping with it. He certainly didn't look like he was coping with it, and he had to take time off. So we're hoping that, this will be the start, and effectively this will be his first year and first pre-season that he really gets a go at it. Just with McKercher, where do you think he'll play in 2024? Like, what position?
I think halfback.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Whether he and Sheez will both play off halfback, or they'll let Sheez will go forward a bit more and more through the midfield, I think, possibly, and like similar to what Dacos did this year. But yeah, I think with McKercher's speed and his beautiful kick, you'd say he's going to be well suited to playing off the half back line. But he could play wing as well, bit of both. But I think that they've got Stevens from Sydney for a reason, and Scott's very settled on the other wing. So, but you're right about Jaden Stevens, and he's the one who's going to have to. He won't be able to be lazy about it. He's going to have to be at his best to get a game. It's going to get a bit more competitive, and then you got guys like Goeder and Bergman that'll be looking to play in the back line as well. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. But you know, for the first time in a long time, it should be just based on form, young or old.
Definitely. I mean, just on Harry Sheezel, where do you think he'll play next year? I don't think he'll play halfback.
No, I think McKercher will probably go into that role, and I think they're going to play. They'll play Sheez more through the midfield and high half forward, not high half forward deep because he's so dangerous. He can literally do anything, that guy, apart from play key position. But he's so damaging with the ball in hand as well. He's a beautiful kick, so you'd love to have him delivering the ball inside 50. But you'd also love him crumbing around the forward 50 too because he's amazing at kicking goals. So. Yeah, someone did tell me, though, he's been training with defence so far. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's the case, maybe they're going to start him there and then do what they did with Colin did with Dacos and move him more forward and more into the midfield. What do you think?
I think you're playing midfield predominantly. I know we've got a lot of midfielders, you know, Luke Davies, Uniac, but it sounds like Jai Simpkin's going to play that high half forward role. Yeah. He's going to probably step back a bit.
Sheezel's got the tank. I mean, he's in the top few in these 2K time trials.
He was last year as well, so he's definitely fit enough. And I think he's too good to waste just in forward line, especially if the ball doesn't get there often enough. And we've got a mean forwards at the moment, so I think he'll play predominantly midfield. Too good of a user of the ball as well. He seemed to. I don't know if you remember that Essendon game last year where we lost by a goal, but him. Wardlaw, Phillips, they seem to work really well in that midfield that day. So, and you get throwing LDU as well. It's going to be pretty exciting midfield group for years to come.
Yeah, and you got Thomas, who's seems
yeah,
to
of course
settle right down as well. So hopefully he's in for a huge year. I mean, he's got obviously they're trying to ease him into it with his groin, but
yeah,
I mean, if he comes out and has a big year, I mean, he could be all Australian. He's got that sort of talent. So you've got LDU, him, Wardlaw, Phillips, as you said, Sheasel. There's a lot of good players in and around that midfield.
Yeah, probably. I guess that. You know, I mean, might as well talk to you about Tom Powell. Where do you see him at contract year as well?
That's a great. I hope he has a fantastic year, but you know he's and there's going to be injuries and all sorts of you know opportunities that are created through the year. But yeah, he's a really interesting one. He's a bit like a bit more of an issue for him than even Jaden Stevenson. Because he's not a walk-up start for the 22, but he's. I mean, I just think about what he did in his first season and his hands and the signs he was showing. Then he's just going to be an absolute genius of a footballer. So, might just be a confidence thing with him. But it's so crowded around that midfield, and I don't think he enjoyed being playing that sort of wing half forward role. Didn't seem to suit him. I think he's just a pure mid. But you know. We'll see what happens, but it's a bit of an unknown. I think if he can't get a regular game, they won't be able to hold him at the club. He will go looking for opportunity, so that'll be a bit of an interesting one to see what happens. But I'd love to see him do well. You know, he's obviously a very talented player, and he's got great vision. He and Phillips, I guess, are those two from that came in at the same year. That I'd love both of them to take a big step up next year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, he's got a lot of talent. He shows it in little bursts as well, what he's capable of, especially in traffic. He's quite good. He's quite a highly skilled individual, but just getting that consistency through the four quarters has been a challenge for him throughout the course of his career. So, it's a big year coming up for him. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see how he goes. It sounds like he's doing pretty well in pre-season. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I'll finish up. When do you think we can compete for another flag?
Oh, another hard question. Jeez, you're firing them tonight. All right. I'll say 2026 onwards.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's probably been more optimistic than previous guests, but you're confident in 3 years' time? That
just suddenly happens. I just think you can look like Brisbane, for example, sort of went, way outside the eight, suddenly a top four side. And I think that's what will happen with us. I think there'll be a big improvement this year. When did I say 2026 and above? Yeah, maybe that is a bit optimistic. But I think we're a chance for finals from 25 onwards. And it's then just a matter of how fast the improvement comes. But, you know, Sydney's a young side that suddenly made a grand final a couple of years ago. Looked like they're well before their time. The Bulldogs did that. You can, you know, and Brisbane jumped up quickly, so you can do it. I just think the players will, once the players have their belief, and I think that'll grow this year. I think from 25 onwards, we'll be a chance to make the eight in 2025, and we'll be a chance to go further from 26, 27 onwards. I think it's going to be they're going to have 7 or 8, 9 years where they should be right up there, but if they can hold the group together. And then it's going to be hard for other clubs when Tassie come in. Our players will be sort of at that perfect age then, around the 24, 25 time. And the draft will get compromised like it was when GWS and Gold Coast came in. That helped Hawthorn win 3 flags in a row because no one could improve quick enough.
That's right.
Yeah. So you never know. But, I think we've already had a lot of the rebuilds already happen. It's just that you know, obviously, other people see North and say, oh, 2 wins, 3 wins, whatever, that'll take 10 years to improve. But that's not how it works. Suddenly players get to 40, 50, 60 games and things start to improve really quickly, particularly when you've got as many top 10 draft picks as we've got at the club now. You know, first round picks, we've never had this many ever, not even close to it before. So, you know, we've got like 12, 13, 14 of them. So we've got the talent there now and we've got a 4-time premiership coach and he's got a good team around him. We're financially in a good position. There's no reason for North not to be successful. We're probably so used to failing in the last 7 or 8 years that it's hard to imagine, but I don't think it's as far away as it probably feels.
I mean, it can turn pretty quickly. I mean, it was, what was it, this time 2 years ago, I think Collingwood were just finished above us on the ladder. So
that's right.
Yeah, so it can turn very quickly. And like you said, this could be a 1993 year, the start of our 1993 year, and, you know, 30 years later, and, yeah, who knows? You know, and we won a flag in 96 and 99, so you never know. It can turn very quickly. We're certainly hoping that. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Well, Mark, that's all I have for you. Any final messages or New Year's resolutions?
No, to you and all the North supporters out there, I have the great news. Keep safe, and I'm looking forward to some exciting things in the new year.
Sounds good, Mark. It's been a pleasure, real pleasure getting to know you a little bit tonight. You generally, when I have guests on, it's just to chat about our loss that happened on the weekend in general, and trying to find positives. But it was good to chat to someone older than me for a change in their in these getting to know you episodes, Mark. So it's usually been with guests that are in their 20s. So thanks for bringing back good memories. You have a safe new year, and we'll chat in the new year as well when the season gets a bit closer, Mark.
Good on you, Dean. Have a good one, buddy.
So thank you very much to Mark Hello for coming on once again. Really enjoyed that chat. And thank you very much to all you live listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can subscribe, tell your friends, leave a rating and review, and do all that fun stuff, that would be much appreciated. I will be back next week, I think, at this stage. I'm not too sure. I'm sort of spreading out the shows at the moment. It just depends what guests I can get on. If I do another one of these getting to know you episodes, or get an AFLW player, I'm not too sure. Like I said, I'm just spreading out these episodes. The downloads have been pretty much down over the last few weeks, so obviously all you lovely listeners are with your families, enjoying your Christmas, enjoying your time away. So, yeah, keep enjoying that, I guess. So, yeah, no, I'm hoping it sort of ramps up late January, early Feb, when the preseason games start happening and so forth. So that's it for tonight's episode anyway. So, like I said, I'll try and be back next week with an episode, but it might be the week after. I'm not too sure. To all you lovely listeners, thanks for your support through 2023. It's been much appreciated. All your messages, all your likes, comments, retweets you have done for the show, it's been much appreciated. All the comments as well. Just everything you've done to support the show, it's been much appreciated. And, yeah, it keeps me going, and I couldn't do this without your support. So, yeah, keep them coming. Tell your friends about the podcast as well. I want to grow it in 2024 as well. So I'm always looking for ways to improve the show. So, yeah, tell your friends and whoever about the show as well. Like I said, that's it. Have a safe 2023. Make sure it's a great 2024. And, yeah, hopefully we can get a few more wins with the men's program next year, and the women's team can get a flag in 2024. Anyways, that's it. So tonight I will leave a shout-out to all you lovely listeners on X, on Instagram, that follow me. I'll leave a shout out to all of you. So bye for now, and go Roos.